Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. As we deep dive into a new week, I want to share an overview of things going on the Sasha Talks platform. If you go to SashaTalks.com, some of the feature spotlights have been highlighted where I contribute professional insights on various topics that I specialize in for those who visit the platform over time, now and then, or occasionally. You are aware that I specialize in the realm of business, education, and I do some spotlight features on entertainment. Within the business realm, I specialize within entrepreneurship, operations, human resources, and I do collaborate with legal, something that I've been doing on and off over the period of the last two decades. Today, I'm going to touch upon one of the reasons when I am sought out for my specialty. It has to do with different forms of crisis management. Taking a look at what a crisis is and how it impacts us as individuals. A crisis can hit an individual, a group of people, or an organization. Typically, I am sought out by a group of people or an organization. Keep in mind that all content that I share adheres to the terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talks. What is a crisis? I have met people who are very dramatic and they'll turn a mountain out of a molehill. I'm not talking about that. Taking a step back and looking at a broader picture of a crisis, some people define it as a turning point situation in time that demands the people involved to make time-sensitive, decisive actions that could help them navigate that scenario. There's something happening that is, this fire alarm is going off. Things need attention. There's disorder. There might be chaos. There might be confusion. Maybe you put in a lot of effort to build something and all of a sudden it is metaphorically or literally dismantling itself. How it should be functioning is no longer functioning. Even when there is dysfunction functioning well and that gets thwarted due to some external force, that itself is a crisis, believe it or not. A crisis in some people's books might be perceived to be an emergency, a catastrophe, a predicament, something I see now and then among clients. It could happen within your home. It could be a familial matter. It could be a professional matter. It could be an organizational business crisis. There has been a financial crisis that impacted people more on a global level. That was, wow, it's going to be almost 20 years ago soon. There are different types of crises, and we're going to be focusing more on the life and business aspect of it. I've been sought out to comment on how to navigate a crisis, and keep in mind that it is only a professional assessment, and for the sake of time, I could only share about 5% of what I would typically be presenting out there. A crisis, in my perception, means that there are concerns and events that are unfolding that could jeopardize the organization's credibility, financial security, and reputation. Some of the cases that I've worked on involves overseeing personnel matters, contractual and commercial issues, creating workplace bylaws, and following up with enforcement. Usually when third parties are not enforcing their workplace bylaws, that gets flagged. And if it gets flagged, it means that something already happened that shouldn't have happened. Financial investigations, employment regulations that need to be either created, modified, updated. On rare occasions, I may be sought out as a subject matter expert when there are third-party organizations working on a case and they need external, credible, vetted source who could shed some light on what they're doing well and what can be done better. Especially when you're navigating a crisis, you don't want to turn everything into binary of good and bad, automatically take a stance on morality because you don't know what that case entails. And I will share why. Because if you were not there and it did not happen on your watch and you were, maybe you're part of the problem that you are so knee deep in that problem, you cannot see things clearly. You need an objective source. And if you don't have work peers who are honoring their roles in that organization to catch it on their radar. The last thing you want is an external party coming into your realm to regulate the terms of your existence as a commercial entity. And then you're also putting your professional credibility on the line. Over the years, there are sensitive cases that I have worked on in partnership in law enforcement, and those that have presented conflicts of interest, they needed a third party to step in. It can be rewarding work. At the same time, there are some characteristics that I think benefit people who take interest in this type of work. It unfolds over a period of time because you also need to develop yourself as a person and as a professional. Patience, being open-minded, but maintaining filters. Being open-minded can be a good thing, but you don't want to be so open-minded to the point where you have no guardrails to filter what aligns with your values and what falls outside of your principles. Being open-minded can be a good thing, but it could also be detrimental if you're letting everything outside filter into your space, your mind, your mental and emotional health. There's wisdom to creating boundaries, managing them, and continue refining them. And I believe if you're blessed to continue living and you choose to work, you will continue developing as a professional in your path. Here's a major thing about crises. Crises rarely resolve themselves on their own. Either a group of people are going to come together and truly put aside their differences and egos, whether they need to collaborate intellectually or interpersonally to address whether it is a conflict, whether it is a problem, a challenge. There are good challenges that help you grow, and there are bad challenges, which I coin to be problems that could be ideally prevented. But we live in life, and with life comes all different types of permutations where you have to just run with the twists and turns. When crises escalates to a point where it cannot be resolved among the people involved, then mediation might take place. The other option may be court. I have sat in mediation cases, and I have worked on mediation cases. On rare occasions, I've also been a subject matter expert who has contributed to certain cases in a more formal court setting. When mediation in court becomes an option, it is usually due to the disagreement of facts, blurred perceptions, and questionable decision-making among the parties involved. And this is a friendly reminder. I often tell my clients, I can only help them to the degree they are willing to receive the help. Rewriting history will not serve them well. Destroying evidence will not serve you well. And in some cases, that is jail time and also a felony. You're not only putting your own credibility on the line, you're putting your own physical safety on the line. You're putting yourself and those that are a few degrees of separation in your life, professionally, and others around you at risk. So don't rewrite history. People can tell. If things are running amok and all of a sudden that one day everything is perfect because you have the higher powers visiting you and you're giving them a tour of your organization, anyone who has a light bulb that turns on will know that more effort was put to host that third party to make sure everything goes smooth for that one day. But all the other days, things have been running on wildfires. Just because you don't see the fire doesn't mean there isn't a fire. When people rewrite history, they often start off with the optics. And when I see optics that are too sanitized, that itself is a red flag. I've seen very sanitized places on the surface, and they are a hot mess underneath. On the other side, I have seen some very abrasive presentations, but when you scratch the surface, there's substance, there's quality. People hold one another accountable more in those settings. When things are too sanitized, context matters. You have to take it at face value. Another thing that I share with my clients is they have the choice to be honest or evasive. It will only help them or hurt them. I could only help people to the degree that they're willing to help themselves and they're willing to be cooperative. If they're not going to be cooperative, I don't make it my problem. I've noticed some professionals who start losing their marbles because their clients are not cooperating and they make it their problem. Parts of the cases that I work on usually are in the beginning or the end. It is rare that I work on cases from the start, the middle, and the finish. I will pop onto the scene when I am needed if I agree to collaborate with that third party. Now, here are a few ways that you could diffuse the situation from getting worse when you have a crisis playing out. The thing about a crisis is they rarely happen overnight. These things have been brewing. They've been cooking. They've been boiling in the background. It could be background noise. It could be 6 feet under. It might be all these problems that you just cast away in that closet. And it just keeps on piling up. And you go, as long as I don't open the door, none of that is going to fall onto me in a metaphorical sense. But the thing is that everything that you cast away, sooner or later, it will seek you out. It's like a magnet. It knows who is the source of that problem. Here are a few ways that you could offset and somewhat manage the situation. Review the case with diligence and care. Go through the details. At least 80% of the time, the details will let you know in what direction you need to navigate to extract more information. From whom, where, how, what happened. Common sense is not too common, but for those who have common sense, if they have good sense, that could help them facilitate progress. Crisis isn't a bad word. It is a part of life. It comes with the territory for living. You don't need to be in the business realm to deal with a crisis. There are people who manage crises in a relationship, whether it is one-on-one, one versus a group of people. There are businesses who deal with a crisis, business versus business. There are many different types of crises that exist in the environment, in the technology realm, in the financial crisis. If you want success and peace, just like that, the other side, in order to get to that goal, you will have to weather some storm. There are good challenges and bad challenges, as I mentioned. The good ones encourage you to grow. The bad ones, they will make you pause, slow down. If you are serious about doing better, make you reflect upon what is happening, why is it happening, what parts of it could have been prevented, what parts of it did you contribute to, and what are you going to do about it? Because when people go through tough times or really, really, really extreme bad day, they'll say and do anything to get out of that situation. But once that situation has a band-aid put on it, or someone comes in and makes it better, they start taking it for granted. And I'm not convinced that they learned their lessons, because some people are so arrogant. And by the way, arrogance comes from a place of low self-esteem. They're so arrogant to think that they are above the laws of nature, above the laws of life. And for somebody who has hosted Karma Trucks, which used to be another Q&A show, Karma Bus will come pick you up sooner or later. It knows where you are. When you're dealing with the crisis, keep in mind that not all solutions are favorable. Not everything is going to be fair. Life isn't fair. Maybe the things that you did were not fair, which led to the crisis that you're in. Keep that in mind. Not all solutions are going to be favorable. There are going to be moments in life where you're going to have to deal with the short end of the stick. Work through that. When you're working on cases, I believe you should maintain sensitivity in the situation. Don't make assumptions. I recommend that you abandon your preconceived notions. As long as you're a human being, you will always voluntarily or at times involuntarily have an opinion about something happening around you, whether it has to do with you or not. If you become privy to it, you're going to have an opinion about it. But if you are hired and trusted to do your job well, you want to park your personal opinions and biases to the side. I'm talking about personal biases because they could be a derivative of your insecurities, your personal experiences, for better or worse. And that has nothing to do with what is in front of you. Some people are very literal And I find it to be very concerning because it's a very accessible way of becoming short-sighted when you're doing your job. Don't make assumptions. For example, I don't go based off people's titles. I often say, and I've been saying this for decades now, I don't care who you are or where you come from or what your title is or who you know. I coexist among different stratas because of the nature of my work, and I will say that across all of those spectrums, these people have one thing in common. They're human beings. None of them are immune from the laws of life. None of them are immune from getting hurt. None of them are immune from making a mistake. None of them are immune from possibly exhibiting a sign of humanity. It doesn't matter what school you went to. It doesn't matter what your credentials are. Don't make assumptions, because the moment you make assumptions, you're already jumping the gun, thinking that you're reaching the finish line sooner, and you might be very gravely wrong. And that could cost you not only your own well-being, your livelihood, your credibility, but it could really change the trajectory of a client's future. And those things shouldn't be taken lightly. I collaborate with other institutions at times, and I've been told, and it's true, the truth will float sooner or later. You could suppress it, you could kill it, you could hide it, you could shred it, you could bury it. You could do a lot of things that are related to the crisis. But if you're not dealing with facts, then there's a good chance of a possibility for whatever the outcome of that crisis could be. It can be appealed if it ends up in court. If it ends up in mediation, it might just be a deadlock. You don't know. And the only way mediation is a healthy outlet would be if both parties in question are willing to communicate and they are cooperative with the mediator. A mediator could be an individual or a third-party group executing that. They have to be cooperative. They have to be willing to seek a solution. And you can't seek a solution unless you're willing to offer something, whether it is information, taking accountability. A lot of people think that when you take accountability in those type of scenarios, you automatically are guilty. There are times where it might be a crisis that impacts a group of professionals, let's say 10 to 13, all of their credibilities are on the line and their future livelihoods and their careers. But it might be 3-4 of them that are just bad apples. Do you think that the remaining of the professionals are going to take the brunt for those 3-4 people and ruin their future? It's a rhetorical question. So when people are uncooperative, I don't make it my problem. I move on to the next. Now, how do you turn a crisis into an opportunity? I believe you address the matter directly with the people involved. Do not make assumptions about anything. Speak to the people that are part of it, directly impacted by it, by providing confidentiality to each person involved. Taking shortcuts will attract room for errors. Taking shortcuts will also likely make you break the law if this is happening in a proper commercial entity. And taking shortcuts will likely drive other side effects that you will no longer be able to manage. It will be the snowball effect. Things get worse and worse and worse. Something will crash until the timer will reset. Do not seek counsel from people who lack professional expertise regarding the crisis. When it happens in an organization, depending on the type of crisis, there are organizations that have their own general counsels, and then there are organizations that have outsourced general counsels. I've seen both. I've collaborated with both. Address the situation privately. Grant each person in question confidentiality. Most crises are not resolved solely based on knowledge. Knowledge can be power, but most people do not know how to apply the knowledge, channel it in the right form and manner to yield results. So leverage legitimate vetted professionals and resources who could provide sensible guidance on how to mitigate or resolve a crisis. Or as I mentioned earlier, a crisis rarely happens overnight. Pay attention to your organizational culture and the decision-making process in the workplace. If the people who are in charge aren't making decisions and they're just acting like a help desk where they listen but they don't help, then they are engaging in a form of negligence, whether they acknowledge it or not. One of my top conversations that have unraveled on and off during the past 15 years is when I have conversations with different professionals within the realm of more in human resources than legal. And I have to reach a point where I tell them, it's not my job to do your job. In that moment, they usually recognize that if I am the one who was brought on site, and most of the time they're privy to why, they realize there's no relevance for them to be working there. And they are holding a function but not performing it. You're contributing zero value. You are not an asset, you are a liability. And when you become a liability, that's going to drag four or five other people out the door with you. Then there's a chance that there's also questionable tactics at work where you're breaking the law. Chances are you haven't broken the law once. There's likely, from past cases that I've worked on, there's a string of developments that have a pattern. And you don't even need to have a pattern because some people are so crooked that they think that they're so novel in their ways of how they execute decisions and oversee operations and organizations. They're not fooling the common man. The moment companies, people, or groups of people, this could be anybody out there, doesn't matter what genre of interest you represent. The moment people start thinking that they are the exception to the rule, thinking it and believing it, that is the moment things start going haywire. So pay attention to the organizational culture, the decision-making process. Who are those that are in charge of making decisions? And if they are in charge of making decisions, do they ever make decisions? And if they make good decisions, are they executed well? Because you can make a good decision. Many things look good on paper, but they could be very horrifying in execution and application. And then for those who are in charge of making decisions, and if they make bad decisions and a decision not to take any action or not even do your job, that is a decision itself. There are different levels of negligence, including gross negligence. I recall working on a case where a third-party organization engaged in a few layers of negligence. The court's verdict was in favor of the employee. The employer goes out. They're so dismissive. They learn of the verdict. Surprise, surprise. How negligent could you be that you did not know what the verdict of the first round was? They appealed it. The employee went back to court. They were very cooperative. And I was very proud of this individual. And again, facts are facts. More facts came out, even more in favor of the employee. And then the second time, the verdict was again in favor of the employee. And because the company was so wretched in their history of screwing people over, they could not appeal for the second time. Their crisis was ongoing. About 34, 35 people were impacted. And out of that crowd of people over a span of several years, one person was successful. It was not luck. It was common sense. And the company continued up till that verdict, engaging in the varying forms of gross negligence. And from there, I would like to believe it was a turning point for them to get their act together. At least they won't be engaging in that same form of behaviors. Because keep in mind, these are behaviors that are carried out by people. That's why I always say, niceness is lip service. Anybody can be nice if they want to be. Goodness is action. Goodness is communicated through action, not words. Moving along, I did touch upon it. No crisis happens overnight. Either it was buried, not talked about. Like heat, it rises up from the bottom. Typically, people, as I call it, who work in the trenches, know what is going on. They've seen it. They've heard it. Some of it might be hearsay. Most of it is not gossip because if you've been there a long period of time, or you don't even have to be a long timer, it will come down to what filters through which you look at your environment at, which means don't go looking for problems that don't exist. Don't fight mental battles that don't exist. Work with what you have in front of you. If you are running on autopilot and you're not paying attention in real time, then you are putting yourself at risk for entrapping yourself in your own foolishness. When communication and enforcement of healthy working relationships are discounted, employees are at risk for their decision-making and work performance suffers. What is the greatest loss in a crisis? I had this discussion with two gentlemen who hosted me on a show about 2 years back, and it was more of a panel discussion. I would say money comes and goes. As long as you know how to make money, you'll be fine. But the greatest loss in a crisis, whether it would be personal, social, business, would be relationships being compromised. Trust being broken, if there was any trust to begin with. Loyalty, if there was any loyalty, that may be compromised. The fact that if you coexist in a confined environment, as in an organization, you work closely with people, those relationships are in question because you start questioning what aspect of that collaboration was genuine, what aspect of it was a pretense. Your professional credibility goes on the line. If there's a system of checks and balances and it is not enforced, a lot of people's well-being is on the line. And usually it is the good people who suffer. But if there's a formal system of checks and balances, then you know that there's a good chance that there are legal issues and legal penalties that will come into the picture. However they are resolved, it is a legal matter then. Here is a good one, because I have seen it, and people, for different reasons, partake in it. Avoid addressing any matters related to the crises and the cases with people who are not related to resolving the issue. Opinions come a dime a dozen. Everyone thinks that they have life figured out. Professional assessments have a time and place. And if the crisis is ongoing and there's no resolution yet, some of them you might be able to talk about afterwards. Others, you are wise to just move on from it. These are the moments where your character is tested. If you are a leader or a manager, people are going to scrutinize your decisions, your actions, your rhetoric. It's a little bit different than people who just walk into a scenario and they start judging through the lens of what they have seen before and then projecting all their angst and their virtue signaling and higher morality onto people. Those are the ones that I typically like to pluck out of the environment first. They are the ones who are part of the problem 98% of the time. Just because you say you do something doesn't mean that you do it. And here's one, and I believe it applies to all of us as human beings. It is easier said than done. Have integrity. I know good people who have been impacted by crises. We all deal with it in some shape or form. And I would say have integrity, because even on your worst day, when you are looking for a way out, no matter how bad it may look, how desperate it may look. I know in business settings, there are reputations on the line. And when things get serious, sooner or later, I recommend that they pull off the mask and deal with what they're looking at in the mirror. It's been there the whole time. There are people who think that they could get away with it for decades, and it's not going to come find them. Whatever you do, don't suppress it. Don't suppress it, don't hide it, don't shred it, don't delete it. Nothing that gets deleted is deleted. Don't trash it, don't bury it. Whatever you do, just remember, people know. And the only people who get hurt in it are the ones who created the mess. Now, there's two types of crises, for the sake of simplicity, where you are intentional in your, I would call it, foolish behaviors, and you're just playing with luck that when you drop the puck from the top, it will land somewhere kosher. You'll be able to buy time. Life goes on. There are no side effects. People move on. It's another sunny day. And then on the other side, it is where you are a human being. It is unintentional. Stuff happens. And you walk through it. And if you're fortunate and you are humble enough to speak up and seek help and guidance, you will come out of it stronger. Not every crisis has a good outcome. In that type of situation where things look morbid, you want to aim for a scenario where, at a minimum, people break even. Find a way to sort through a mutually beneficial agreement. Again, if you turn everything into binary, black and white and right and wrong, again, you're going to be going back down a black rabbit hole, which will prolong either the mediation process, the legal ordeal. And the more you prolong it, it doesn't mean that you don't have baby crises where the other fires are also burning. So my friendly guidance, my friendly professional guidance would be, whatever it is, look at it, see it, feel it, hear it, professionally assess it. If you don't know how to do it, find the right people who could help you to find out, is it a true positive? If it is a true positive and you are serious about your longevity and sustainability in that given environment, whatever context this crisis is existing within, get serious about how are you going to move forward. Because you can't just throw everything under the rug. View a crisis like a thunderstorm. When you come out of it, hopefully you will not have to go through that same thunderstorm again, unless you choose not to learn. And there are companies who do opt for not caring, regardless of how many times they are dinged with similar offenses. And one thing I recommend is don't do the shame and blame game. That just takes up time. It yields no results. The one great thing that comes out of a crisis, especially when it involves a group of people, is it reveals most of their values, for better or worse. So if somebody was crooked, they were crooked a long time ago. It didn't happen overnight. If you plan on returning to certain environments, you might as well know who you're dealing with. One final observation I don't mind sharing, because I've been quoted on it, and I've also mentioned it in private mediation meetings in front of very powerful people. I am being me. That's why I get hired. I said, I have served personalities and organizations that function like Jekyll and Hyde. And then I've also worked for people who were Jekyll and Hyde, but there was a caveat to it. I knew that they were Jekyll and Hyde from the day I saw them. So the final takeaway I would say is, it all comes down to people. Do your best to gravitate towards people who will bring out and help you develop a better version of you. That doesn't mean that you are going to be immune from any crisis in life. But when you are equipped with the right people who will hold you accountable for you being the best version of you, they will likely be also compassionate and willing to guide you if you seek them out. Not everyone who is a supporter of yours is a vetted source or qualified to guide you. So don't get fooled by niceness. Go seek goodness out. A crisis can only make you better. It could grant you a competitive edge. Over time, you become better at navigating it, as long as you don't go out and create them. If you're going to go out and create them, then you better have time, energy, and resources so you could afford people and professionals who go out and help people manage these scenarios. They don't do the work for you, but they help you get to your desired outcome. And the only way you're going to get your desired outcome is if you're willing to learn and become better. On a lighter note, if you have any topic recommendations, if you want to partake in any Sasha Talks activities, even if it's on the BBS Radio platform, please reach out by going to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, drop a hello. And if you have lived through a crisis and you would like to share your testimony, regardless of which genre of life you've lived through, I would be more than willing to read your testimony. Send it in. Until next time, have a blessed week. Be good, be safe, be blessed. Thank you.